some evidence of it. But you know something? It's not without former foundation in things of the Bible. Which of the two of these was greater, Cain or Abel? Abel. Who was the firstborn? Cain. Which of these two is greater, Jacob or Esau? Jacob. Which one was the firstborn? Which of these two is greater, Isaac or Ishmael? Which of the ones were the firstborn? Ishmael. So that thing is not without precedence. When Jacob crisscrosses his hands over those boys, he's seen that happen in his own life and prophesies that Ephraim, in fact, would be greater. And that's true. Let's look at some evidence of that. Look in Numbers chapter 1 at verse 33. Who shows up first, the Antichrist or Jesus Christ at the second coming? Who shows up first, the Antichrist or Jesus Christ? The Antichrist. It shows you when you see the first one coming, that's not the one. Okay, look at Numbers chapter 1 and look at verse 33. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Ephraim, were 40,500. All right, now look in verse 35. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Manasseh, were 32,200. Which one's greater? Ephraim. You had to do a little math there, didn't you? All right. So it shows you that. Now watch what happens when Moses blesses these guys in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Moses is going to bless all these tribes before he dies. Deuteronomy chapter 33. And look at verse 17. So in the wilderness census, Ephraim outnumbers Manasseh. In the blessing of Moses, Ephraim outnumbers Manasseh. Deuteronomy 33, verse 17. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of the unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. Notice, Ephraim is recorded as the 10,000s. Manasseh is only blessed as the thousands. Now, when the Jews finally did get into the land of Canaan, they had to set the tabernacle up somewhere. And they set the tabernacle up in a place originally. They set the tabernacle up in a place called Shiloh. Shiloh. So let's go over to Joshua chapter 18 and see this, because that's where the headquarters of all the activity with God is. It's at the tabernacle. Joshua chapter 18, look at verse 1. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh, and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. Notice the tabernacle set up at Shiloh. When Samuel comes along, years later, the tabernacle is still set up at Shiloh, and that's where Eli is serving the tabernacle and serving the Lord. That's where Samuel learns to serve the Lord, at Shiloh. Now go backwards to Joshua chapter 16 and look at verse 5 and 6, because now you're going to see the inheritance of Ephraim. Joshua chapter 16, verse 5, the border of the children of Ephraim according to their families was thus, even the border of their inheritance on the east side was Ataroth-Adar unto Beth-Horon, the upper, and the border went out toward the sea to Michmatha on the north side, and the border went about eastward to Taanath, what? Shiloh, and passed by it on the east to Genoa and so forth. All right, so that place is in Ephraim. If you check it out on the map, you see where Ephraim's inheritance is. Shiloh is in that inheritance. So Ephraim is greater in the wilderness census. Ephraim is greater in the blessings of Moses, the 10,000s of Ephraim and the thousands of Manasseh. Ephraim is greater in that the tabernacle was set up in Ephraim. Now remember back there to Psalm 78, when I said something about the tabernacle of Joseph, that thing of Ephraim? That's where it was. That's what Psalm 78, verse 60 was about. And he rejected that and eventually moved that tabernacle into Judah's inheritance and set it up under David and Solomon, where it was located throughout the rest of the Jewish history. Okay, you got that? That's where it will be during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, and then one more thing that happens in this chapter is the double portion is given to Joseph. Look in verse 21 and 22. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. Now that double portion, who does the double portion ordinarily go to? The double portion ordinarily goes to the oldest son. Look, for instance, in Deuteronomy chapter 21 at verse 17. We'll start with verse 15 for the context. Deuteronomy chapter 21, look at verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 15. If a man have two wives, one beloved, Rachel, and another hated, Leah, and they've borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved, Joseph, from Rachel, firstborn before the son of the hated, Reuben, from Leah, which is indeed the firstborn, but he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him what? A double portion of all that he hath, for he is the beginning of his strength, the right of the firstborn is his. Now, I understand that this law was written after this took place, but you know, there's a lot of stuff that we see written in the law that was already being practiced long before the law was ever written. In the case of Judah, whose oldest son Ur married Tamar, when Ur died, he gave Tamar to Onan, and said, Now raise up seed to thy brother. That's the law, and that didn't come for years later, but they were already practicing that stuff. So if Reuben is the firstborn, albeit he comes from Leah the hated, compared to Rachel, and Joseph is the firstborn of Rachel, why does Joseph get the double portion instead of Reuben? That's good, 50-50, yeah, 50-50. He slept with a woman, he slept with his father's concubine. Okay. And so look what happens in Genesis chapter 35, verse 22, to Reuben, the firstborn son. Genesis 35, verse 22, it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12, and he goes on. So he went up there and he defiled his father's bed. As a matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 49, which we'll study next week or the week after, how much ever we deal with on this, in Genesis chapter 49, verses 3 and 4, when Jacob is blessing his sons, look what he says about Reuben in Genesis 49, 3 and 4. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, the excellency of power, unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. So as a result of that, he forfeited his birthright. So Jacob gave the birthright to Joseph, who was the firstborn of Rachel, the wife that he loved. That allowed Ephraim and Manasseh to each receive a portion that was equal to the portion of the other brothers that were in the family. It worked out great, didn't it? And notice how this thing is recounted in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. So God, you know, God works all these things out. That's what I marvel about God. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, for the birthright was Joseph's. So the oldest boy was given a birthright, and he was also given a blessing. The birthright was the double portion. That went to Joseph and conveniently took care of Ephraim and Manasseh, making them equal with the other brothers. And the blessing went to Judah, from whom Jesus Christ came. And so God took care of everything. as God always does. Amen. Amen. All right, any other questions or comments about what we've studied here this morning? Yes, sir.
How many other children did Joseph have after his father?
The Bible doesn't say.
Okay, those children, who would they have been, where would they have gotten their inheritance from?
Evidently, he didn't have any more children, and evidently then verse 6 of what we studied, thy issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine, would be this, their offspring, that is the children of Ephraim and Manasseh, will always be Joseph's issue. In other words, later on, he'll talk about Ephraim and Manasseh as the tribes of Joseph or the children of Joseph, that kind of thing, and so it's accounted back to him. As a matter of fact, let me see this real quick, but I think this is right. Let me check something here real quick, and I'll show you how this thing panned out in the tribulation. Okay, turn to Revelation chapter 7. It's a good question. The question is, did Joseph have other children who would be his issue after him? And actually, the Bible doesn't record that he did. He probably did not. But verse 6 in Genesis 48, thy issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine, has to do with the grandchildren and great-grandchildren that come from that as if they were from Joseph. Okay? Now, in Revelation chapter 7, I'm going to make a real long story, very short, just to, so you'll understand this. Ephraim messes up in the Old Testament because Jeroboam raises up those golden calves and puts one in Bethel, which is in Ephraim. And therefore, God eventually forsakes the tribe of Ephraim because of what goes on down there and also in Samaria. It's a terrible thing. And so Ephraim doesn't get an inheritance, and Dan doesn't get an inheritance or protection, excuse me, during the tribulation, because Dan is the other place where the other golden calf was raised up by Jeroboam. If you know your Old Testament, you'll remember reading through there, and it talks about the kings in Israel, and it says, he was a good king, yet he ceased not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. That sin of raising up the golden calves in Bethel, which is Ephraim, and up in Dan, follows the tribe of Israel all the way until their captivity by the Assyrians. And so in the tribulation, they don't get protection. Look at it. Revelation chapter 7, and watch what happens. Look at verse 5. This is the 144,000. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, were sealed 12,000. Verse 6, of the tribe of Asher, 12,000. Naphtalim, 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, were sealed 12,000. Verse 7, of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, see, Levi was not accounted with those boys in their inheritance, but he gets protection because Ephraim has messed up and because Dan has messed up. We're sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar, we're sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. Of the tribe of what? Joseph. We're sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin, we're sealed 12,000. So Joseph, see his name there, so it looks like the lineage and offspring then are accounted to Joseph, and it takes place, shows up later in the book of Revelation why that is. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Father, we're sure thankful for these great words that are recorded in this book. We're thankful, Father, that you have recorded for us a history that is biblical history and is a history that will prove to us the prophecies concerning this nation are true. Now, Father, we ask you to bless during this time of fellowship that we enjoy between the services, and we ask you, Father, during our preaching service this morning that your Holy Spirit will fill us and cause the Word of God to be able to move with free course. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We ask you to do these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.